Opinions expressed on this radio program do not necessarily reflect the views of this radio station.
Todd never sugarcoats it. Does he tell it straight? You bet. Does he deliver with a sense of humor? Always.
I always start my Sunday mornings off listening to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show. It has tons of information, and he has such a great sense of humor.
My friends and I always tune in to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show.
Hold on tight. Don't let go. It's time for the Todd L. Levitt Law Show.
Welcome to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show. Good morning, good evening, and good night. I am yours truly, attorney Todd L. Levitt, broadcasting from the mothership in a green field in the middle of the mitten, folks. Post 420. That's right, post 420. It's been 3 days since 420, and there's still people wandering around this green field that I'm broadcasting in the middle of the mitten, but that's okay. They're still celebrating 420. I hope everybody has done so legally and safely. Always keep it legal and keep it safe. Opening the show today in honor of 420 with one of my favorites, White Rabbit, Jefferson Airplane. I love that song. I could play it over and over and over. Yes, Mandatory Metallica will be back, but that won't be for quite some time, folks, quite some time. Hey, huge show today. I'm going solo. Well, not really. I'm not going solo because I have all you listeners out there that are tuned in to 98.5, Rock 105, and 95.5, all part of Black Diamond Broadcast Group, and I'm here in the mothership going strong. First off, before I start the show, to the lady this morning, on my way to the Greenfield mothership here in the new Mustang, there's a lady driving a Mustang. What are you doing driving 20 miles under the speed limit? If you have a Mustang, and by the way, folks, I can speak because I used to have a 98 Mustang black on black 4.6 liter convertible, black leather seats, interior, everything. I actually put three engines in it. I mean, I just tore it up. But that Mustang was great. 1998, the last year they made that model. But to the lady driving that brand new Mustang, how do you drive a Mustang 20 miles under the speed limit? I mean, I'm just completely flipping out going, you got to be kidding me. Is she texting? Is she tired? What is she doing in that vehicle? Well, eventually she came to a light and got in the right-hand lane, and I looked over to see that it was a woman, and it was an elderly woman. When I say elderly, I'm elderly myself. I mean, I'm eligible for the AARP now. Is there an AARP 420 out there? I just want to know. But I looked at this lady, and I had to give her credit for being in a Mustang. I mean, she looked as if she could have been, you know, in her early 70s. I mean, she had extremely gray hair. In fact, she had, and I mean this respectfully, she had one of those elderly lady hairdos. There comes a point in time in every woman's life, and again, respectfully speaking, I have women in my family who end up making the choice to get their hair cut short. And I once said to one of my family members, I said, hey, what age are you going to be when you get that older lady hairdo where you cut all your hair off? She said, you know what, Todd? It's funny you should say that because as we get older, you know, taking care of your hair as it gets longer is just, it's just too much. And after years and years of waking up, going to work with the shampoo, the conditioner, the beauty salon, having short hair is just easier to manage. Yes, folks, we are a law show. I am attorney Todd L. Levitt, broadcasting hundreds of thousands of Watch Strong post 420, not only on the three stations part of Black Diamond Broadcast Company, but also podcasting on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Podbean. It is free. And yes, you have to fight for the right to party, because I'm telling you folks right now, the fight is taking place all across this country and all across the Mitten State in regards to getting communities and townships and city councils to opt in to the Facilities Licensing Act. And there's a lot of concerns out there. And I'm going to talk about some of these concerns in the next segment. But before I get to that, I want to get back to something else we were talking about a moment ago in regards to ladies who get the hair cut off. What age is it when men start gathering and getting up very early and hanging out at fast food restaurants and gas stations? And I notice, you know, throughout my travels across the Mitten State, I'll go to a fast food restaurant for breakfast. I'm not naming any places. You know which one I'm talking about. Or a gas station that has like a coffee bar. And there's always, you know, retired men in there. Very nice. You know, they're talking politics or talking about, you know, the past or what's happening later that day. And I'll talk to them. So at what age, men, are we going to be that guy and going to those gas stations and fast food restaurants at 5:30 in the morning to watch the morning rush and everyone else who has to go to work? I'm not really sure if I'll ever do that, because I plan on just hanging out here in the green field in the middle of the Mitten. But to that lady again in that Mustang, are you kidding me? If you're driving a Mustang, I'm not telling you to break the law on speed, but can you at least go the speed limit? I'm trying to get to the mothership here to do the show. And what is she doing? She's driving 20 miles under the speed limit. It was driving me up a wall. Big shout out, by the way, to Craig Russell from The Morning Hustle. We did a show last week. Craig will be back as a regular guest on the show. My good friend Dave Warner and his wife were supposed to be on the show this week, but because of my scheduling issues, he was able to make it. I couldn't make it. So, Dave, we're going to have you back on in a couple weeks for sure. Hey, I have an issue. Here's my issue, folks. Spring is in the air. Summer's around the corner. Fall, quite a ways away. How about you folks out there, such as myself, who is planning all your summer trips, whether you're going to go camping, rustic camping with the family, in your camper, or take a trip somewhere? I'm the type of camper, I'm a rustic camper, my boys and I, and we always purchase freeze-dry foods. This past week, I'm at my favorite store, J Sporting Goods, and this was last week, a week ago today, and I purchased, are you ready for this? New York cheesecake bits, freeze-dried bits. New York cheesecake freeze-dried bits and apple crisp. This is all freeze-dried food, together with some spaghetti and other delicious freeze-dried food. The problem is, it's so good that I consumed it all week. That's right. I got out of work, out of court, went home, shred some single tracks, walked the dogs, hugged the cat, fed the fish, cleaned the tank. And what did I do? Instead of, you know, cooking up some pasta like my grandmother used to do, I broke out the freeze-dry food, boiled some water, poured it in, let it boil for 2 minutes, took the little, you know, moisture pack out, and I ate my freeze-dry food all week. And by the way, I'm back, for those who have been tuning into the show for a long time, I'm back to sleeping in a sleeping bag again. I know there's a lot of listeners out there from Rock 105 and 95.5. I have a sleeping bag. It's one of those really expensive, you know, 15 below degree mountain sleeping bags. It's more comfortable than any bed and any comforter I've ever had on my body. So I figure, why not sleep in it all the time? Well, I did that for a couple years on top of the mattress, and I'm back doing it again because I just purchased a brand new bag, and it is so soft, it is so down, it is so warm. I'm staying in the sleeping bag. In fact, I'm putting the tent back up in my bedroom. If it was up to me, I'd live outside all year round, but that's just, it can't happen that way right now. But again, what's up with the lady in the Mustang driving 20 miles below the speed limit? If you have a Mustang, especially that beautiful car that you were driving, you have to go a little bit faster. And folks, if you do purchase freeze-dry food, save it for the camping trip. Don't do what I just did and consume it all in 1 week. But hey, folks, we are a law show. I am attorney Todd L. Levitt, broadcasting in the middle of the Mitten on a beautiful, beautiful afternoon. And tomorrow, by the way, Rob Pizzielli, Robert J. Pizzielli, attorney at law, who's my associate, we team up and we have worked together for 23 years. We will be attending the Cannabis Law One Day Conference for Lawyers in Lansing. And that seminar, I mentioned it last week on the show. I'll be discussing everything that I learned to pass on to you on next week's show. We are going to be attending an all-day conference, and some of the topics are going to be, which I talk about all the time, the Michigan Medical Marijuana Facilities Licensing Act. We are going to be talking about rulemaking, update, and overview, such as key issues and how to influence the ongoing rules. Criminal law developments, 20 hot topics under the Michigan Medical Marijuana Act. That's a question I get often. What's going to happen to the caregivers? What's going to happen to the patients? Municipal ordinances. What are the requirements and limitations of some of these municipalities? The keynote speaker, this is huge. It is Shelley Egerton, who's the director of LARA, the Department of Licensing and Regulatory Affairs in Lansing. Structuring and preparing clients for the licensing. Here's a big one, folks. Banking and taxation and intellectual property. My advice to all of you out there is if you're going into any business, make sure you have a good accountant, a very good CPA accountant or financial planner who can help you navigate the tax codes. Whether you're a owner of a restaurant, gas station, or one of these new cannabis businesses, you have to have a good accountant who understands what the rules and regulations are and what the tax code is to protect you, his or her client. Hey, we have to go to break, but when we come back right here on the Todd L. Levitt Law Show, I am fired up post 420. It's 2 days after. It's 423 right now, actually. Coming strong, opening the show with White Rabbit. Don't forget, folks, as the Beastie Boys said, this is my theme song. You have to fight for the right to party. And us citizens are fighting hardcore from the Pacific to the Atlantic to the Canadian border all the way south to the Gulf. We are fighting for the right not to party. We are fighting for the right to exercise our sovereign rights as individuals and pass all the laws that we want passed and to end federal prohibition against cannabis. And yes, folks, we will be talking about other issues throughout the show other than cannabis. So stay tuned for that. We have to go to break. Make sure you tip the wait staff and a word from our sponsors. Welcome back to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show. Coming back strong with White Rabbit, Jefferson Airplane. I just cannot get enough of that song. I'm going to be doing mandatory Airplane, White Rabbit all day long today just to celebrate post 420 in the middle of the mitten, sitting here in the mothership in a green field. Hey, by the way, about a week ago, the state of Michigan finally announced and formally announced the creation of the Bureau of Medical Marijuana Regulation. That's right. It's contained within the state's Department of Licensing and Regulatory Affairs, otherwise known as LARA. The new bureau brings together, folks, oversights of the patient and caregiver registry under the MMMA with the new regulatory structure of the Medical Facilities Licensing Act. And the bureau is going to be ran by Andrew Brisbow. And Andrew, if that sounds familiar, he was the director of LARA's licensing division for quite some time. Also, in more news, LARA also announced a week or so ago that Franwell Incorporated, everybody should look that up if you're interested in going into business, has been chosen to operate the seed-to-sale monitoring and tracking program required for participants in the state's new medical marijuana regulatory framework. And Franwell's Marijuana Enforcement Tracking Compliance System, or METRC, is also used, by the way, in Colorado, Oregon, and Alaska. By the way, do you say creek or crick? I'm a city guy. Class 83, Berkeley High, go Bears. I'm from the city. I say creek. All my friends up here in the northern country say crick. I don't know. Is it a creek? Is it a crick? Is it a combination of the two? All I know is a lady in a Mustang. If you have a Mustang, you can't drive 20 miles below the speed limit. I'm just not happy about that. I'm a former Mustang owner. I had a 98 black-on-black 4.6 liter convertible. It was bad to the bone. And I'm on my way to the mothership today, and I'm behind this lady driving like a turtle. It's like, come on. I'm not asking you to speed. I'm not recommending or calling to action that anyone breaks the law. But can you at least drive the speed limit, especially in a Mustang? I mean, come on. What is that all about? Back to the information, folks. Back to the law. The state has still not announced appointments to the Michigan Medical Marijuana Facilities Licensing Board. So we'll get that information out to you in the future. Here's some information. Massachusetts, the state of Massachusetts. Can you say that properly? They just dismissed thousands and thousands of drug cases over evidence tampering at the state lab. This is unbelievable. They had to dismiss 21,587 criminal cases. That is unreal. The state of Michigan, by the way, 2 years ago had an investigation where they uncovered 4,000 cases from the Michigan State Police Lab that they had issues with. The analysis was off, and so therefore the information went out to all the prosecutors around the state. And if you are an attorney and you had one of those clients who fell into the category of one of the 4,000, then you were either contacted by the prosecutor in the county in which your client case was held, or you contacted that prosecutor to inform. I had two clients who were affected by the state of Michigan's issue over their analysis, but it was against my clients. The results of the blood test, when they were corrected, actually came back at a higher level than what originally they were at. So there was no issue there for my cases. But to all the men and women who do work for the Michigan State Police, you do a great job. I have a lot of friends in law enforcement. I'm a defense attorney. I will say it every single week. You will hear it over and over. I support law enforcement 100%. Do I always agree with them? No. Will I go to court and argue against them? Yes. But I support them. I respect them. They put their lives on the line each and every day. So to all the men and women at the Michigan State Police and all the other law enforcement agencies around the country and our military, I can speak for myself and my listeners, we support you, I'm going to get all these emails from listeners. Well, I don't actually support them. Well, you know what? When you're in trouble, who do you call? 911. And kudos to all the men and women who do work the 911 phones and all the services that provide communication between the citizens and the officers. You got to remember, when you call 911, it goes to, most of the time, a central location where the information is then dispatched, if not from the precinct, to the officer or officers. So kudos to all the men and women out there who are in law enforcement. But again, as a defense attorney, I'm happy to go up against you in court when I have to. So Massachusetts dismisses all those cases, 21,587 cases. That's unbelievable. I get this question all the time. If I get pulled over in a motor vehicle, should I submit, if requested, to a blood or breath test? Yes. In the state of Michigan, it's implied. You have to consent. Do not refuse or you will face an implied consent 1-year suspension under the law, although there is a hardship relief in circuit court. Contact an attorney such as myself or other fine attorneys in regards to obtaining that license in circuit court. Here's some questions for you. As the state of Michigan does move forward in developing rules to implement the state's new Facilities Licensing Act, Michigan reached out back in February. Lara reached out and asked the citizens of the state of Michigan for input in a number of critical areas, whether and how applicants can seek multiple licenses and co-locate operations under different license classes. So the director of LARA issued a statement, and the statement, and I'll quote it, and I'm getting this off the government website here. It says, many of you have been aware during previous meetings or conversations regarding the act that the department, LARA, was considering holding discussions to get feedback from those of you who have expressed interest in certain topics. And in order for us to better serve you, the citizens, we're going to put these questions out there and ask for your response. Now, these responses had to be provided by 5 p.m. By February 28th. So what good does it do for me to tell you about these things? Well, because you should be aware of it. So the question was, should an entity be permitted to have more than one grow license at a single location? Yes, absolutely. So in the state of Michigan, you can apply for a Class A, B, or C, 500, 1,000, or 1,500 plant license. So should an entity be permitted to have more than one grow license? Why not? I mean, why not? I mean, how many nurseries out there can grow 1,000 tulips and 2,000 roses? What's the difference? I can hear it now. Okay, I know the difference. Come on. Should an entity be permitted to have more than one level of grow license at a single location? Yes. Again, should an entity, a business, be permitted to have more than one level of grow licenses at a single location? Absolutely. Another question. Should multiple licenses issued at a single location be restricted to Class C grow licenses only? No. Why not get permission to have a Class A, B, or C? But if you're going to grow that much, you might as well just get a couple of Class C licenses. And if you do have a Class C license and it says you can cultivate 1,500 legally, you don't have to cultivate 15. You can start off with 300. Should the licensed growers, processors, and provisioning centers be allowed to apply for multiple licenses? Abso-frickin-lutely. Come on. This is America. What happened to capitalism? Abso-frickin-lutely. I mean, if you own a gas station, you could sell chocolate and alcohol. So why not be able to sell edibles and legal cannabis? I'm going to have to listen back to that to see if that even makes sense. But I think it does because it's my show. And I'm upset about the lady in the Mustang driving 20 miles below the speed limit today on the way to the mothership. What was that all about? And yes, you have to fight for the right to party. Beastie Boys, circa 1980-something. Yay! I don't know. That song's been going over and over in my head all week. I woke up listening to it earlier this week on iTunes. And, you know, instead of, what was it a couple weeks ago? Helen Reddy, I Am Woman, Hear Me Roar. I've had the Beastie Boys. You have to fight for the right to party. That just takes me back to, you know, being at Central Michigan from 84 through 88 and spring break at Daytona Beach. It was all a blur, but I just remember that song. You have to fight for the right to party.
You gotta fight for your right to party.
Should a demonstrated ability to sell inventory be required as a prerequisite to issuing additional licenses at a single location? And if so, what percentage of the inventory over how long of a period? Did you hear that? Should a demonstrated ability to sell inventory, what do you have to demonstrate? And what ability? That you have previous sales experience and you understand inventory? That can be taught. That's easy. Hey, we have to go to break, but I have a few other questions to get to after the break. We have three more right here on the Todd L. Levitt Law Show, broadcasting in a greenfield from the mothership, post 420, from 98.5 UPS, Rock 105, and 95.5. We have to go to break. A word from our sponsors. We will be right back.
And if you go chasing rabbits, and you know you're going to fall, tell them a hookah, smoking caterpillar, has given you.
Welcome back to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show, coming to you hundreds of thousands of watts strong, also podcasting on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Podbean. I want to welcome all the new listeners from Rock 105 and 95.5 to the show. We've been broadcasting the Todd L. Levitt Law Show here at the Mothership in the middle of the mitten on 98.5 UPS, probably for the past 5 or 6 years. each and every Sunday morning. We come to you with humor, information, and from time to time, special guests. And yes, folks, I don't just talk about cannabis, but the issue is it's so prevalent right now across the state. People are either for it or they're against it. Townships and council members are either for it or they're against it. You have a right to contact your local supervisor, board member, council member, contact the Township Municipal Association, even your local prosecutor. You have a right to contact any local official that works for you. And I think it's important. This is what is really important. And I've said this before. I was at a meeting about 10 years ago, and I was having a conflict with these individuals at the meeting. And there were six of them and just myself. I stood up. I was so frustrated with these elected officials. I stood up and said, hey, you need to remember one thing. You work for me. I pay taxes. I voted you in. You work for me and all the other citizens in this jurisdiction. And don't you forget that. Point being is, elected officials have to be reminded who they work for. I want to talk for a moment to all the citizens out there and all the communities, large, small, wherever you may live, that are against the movement and the majority of the citizens of the Minton State who are against having a dispensary, a cultivation, a processor, a testing facility, or a transportation company in your small, medium, or large community. Let me ask you this. There is no difference than having the local drugstore, the big box store that sells liquor and prescription pills. There is no difference than having a nursery down the road that is growing tulips and roses. These licenses and these businesses are going to be owned and operated by local people in your community. One, it's going to bring jobs. People will be employed. Two, you have farmers who are seeking the ability after 100 plus years to continue the family farm and to pass on something that will thrive and benefit their family and children and grandchildren. You will bring wealth to the township and communities in the form of taxes and licensing fees. Each license will be charged up to $5,000 by the local municipalities in addition to a percentage of the gross of a particular licensing. Also, you're going to have businessmen and women who will be opening up these businesses. Not just anybody's going to be able to apply to the state of Michigan and obtain a license. There will be vetting in regards to background checks. If you're a corporation and you're applying for a license, each member of the corporation will be vetted. Criminal background check. Are you a businessman? Are you a businesswoman? What experiences have you held? Do you have any criminal history? How's your driving record? They can ask whatever they want to ask. Security. The regulations are going to require a certain type of security. The citizens will not face blight and crime. No more than you already have in your community. Look at all the drugs and prescription and opiate addictions and deaths that are taking place out there from heroin and pills. Heroin and pills. How many of you can sit here right now? Right now, and tell me that you know someone or have heard of someone in your community that has overdosed from smoking too much cannabis. Who has overdosed from smoking too much cannabis. Now, a combination of alcohol, prescription pills, opiates, as I'm saying, and cannabis will do it. But alcohol, how many people die each year from alcohol, folks? If you allow the local, you know, drugstore or local store to sell alcohol in your community, how hypocritical is it that you're not going to allow a medical business to operate to provide, you know, CBDs and medicine to patients that has been medically proven, but you have no problem with all the liquor sales that go on in your community and all the liquor license, but yet you stand up against allowing a facilities licensing in your community? How about all the deaths each year? How about all the liver disease? How about all the stores that sell cigarettes and people that die from emphysema each year? I've had family members pass away from emphysema. I've had family members who have been alcoholics. okay? And I can tell you, as someone that speaks from experience, because I've had family members die of cancer from smoking, die of alcoholism when their livers have shut down and other organs, that I have not yet seen anybody face these same diseases from smoking specific cannabis. So for those of you out there who are opposed to coming into your community, why don't you take a look at the big picture and see really what it's about. Do some research. Talk to people out there who have information, like Dr. Bob. Dr. Bob Townsend from Denali Healthcare. He's a great guy. Call him up. My point is, don't just be against it because the prosecutor doesn't like it or the federal government classifies as a Schedule One. Do some research. How many of you out there have lost someone because of alcohol, because of smoking cigarettes? Don't be a hypocrite. That's all I'm asking you. And I know I'm going to get some emails. Todd, what are you talking about? But you know what? It's just my opinion. And it's my show, so I have a right to say it. But anyhow, we are a law show. And we've been coming back strong today, post 420, with White Rabbit. I love those words. One pill makes you larger. I can't sing. And one pill makes you small. And the one mother gives you, you don't do anything at all. Go ask Alice. Anyway, I can't sing. I know I just lost the entire listenership of the mothership here. And we've had a great show going on today. I had some more questions for you. Here we go. Should different entities operating at the same location be required to have a common ownership interest? Should different entities operating at the same location be required to have common ownership interest? I say yes. Unless you have, for instance, you have somebody who's into holistic foods and medicine, such as, you know, natural food and organic medicine at a dispensary, then they can have different ownership interest. But you can't have two people that one owns the dispensary and one owns the processor and you're, you know, sharing the same location. I don't know. I just think, one, it's going to create conflict because you're two different owners with two different financial interests. No one should tell each other how to run a business. And by the way, folks, if you're going to have partners in any type of business, you better sit down ahead of time and talk about every single issue that could come up that's uncomfortable. If you have a partner and you can't right now, before you even go into business, talk about certain issues such as hiring, firing, Who's gonna control the banking? One, how are you gonna bank in the first place? But this applies to any business. If you can't talk about these issues, then what business do you have going into business together? Because friends and family, once the business operates, I've seen way too often that businesses will fall apart. And when you have a corporation, just because one partner decides they're not happy and wants to walk away, they cannot shut that business down. That business is a legal entity and has a life of its own. And there's an operating agreement and there's bylaws. And that business must move forward. Now, there are cases out there. I'm not a corporate attorney, but my good friend John Devine is, who was on the show a couple weeks ago. Big shout out to John Devine, 989-773-3333. But you can dissolve a corporation, but it's a big, lengthy process. And there's all these different standards that have to be met before a court will even consider dissolving a corporation and splitting up the assets and, you know, after all the debt is paid. I'm not that lawyer. I'm not going to get into it. But I'm here to say, if you have a corporation, that corporation must thrive and continue whether one or two of the members want it to or not. And here's another thing. If a member of the corporation leaves the state or goes on vacation, there must be a process or procedure in place so that the corporation still functions. One person should not be in a position where they can shut down the corporation. Here's an example. Let's say there's two partners. One does all the purchasing and the other does, you know, runs the business itself. One purchases, does the banking. One is there at the location every day. The one that does the purchasing and banking goes on vacation, and the person running the actual brick and mortar store is running low on inventory and has to get a hold of the buyers to bring in more product. But the partner who handles that and has all the contacts is on vacation. How is that the right way to run a business? I've heard of this happening a number of times. So if you're going to operate a business, you better darn well put procedures in place that that business continues whether one person is there or no one's there. Somebody there has to be able to run it. Well, not no one, but I'm saying if there's partners, you better have employees who know what they're doing. And everything needs to be spelled out. If something is uncomfortable and you're afraid to approach your partner about it or talk to her about it, why are you going into business with that person in the first place? It's called an operating agreement, folks. You should have an attorney. Contact an attorney who knows how to put together an operating agreement. And that's sound advice right here on the Todd L. Levitt Law Show. And if you're just tuning in for the first time, what took you so long? Big shout out, by the way, to my two brothers who practice out of Roscommon, Houghton Lake, Mid and Northern Michigan, all over the place, Coltrane and Ayers. That's right, Aaron Coltrane and Trey Ayers. I love you guys. And if you need a good criminal defense firm or business or some of the other legal issues they handle, look up Coltrane and Ayers. I love those guys. Trey, Aaron, you're my guys. I'll give you a shout out later today. We have to go to Jay Sporting Goods later because last week I ate all my freeze-dried food that I was supposed to take on an upcoming camping trip. So I'm out of freeze-dried food. I'm sorry. The New York cheesecake bits, freeze-dried bits, were just too delicious. I had to eat them, and I also had to eat the spaghetti that I bought and some other rice products up at Jay Sporting Goods to take on my camping trip. We have to go to break. When we come back, we're going to finish strong with a lot of information here. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
And if you go chasing rabbits and you know tell 'em a hookah, smoking caterpillar, has given you the call. You call Alice when she was just small.
Welcome back to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show, broadcasting from the Black Diamond Broadcasting Group Mothership. In the middle of the mitten, post 420, there's a lot of earthlings still running around my green field. They look like they're having a great time. And, I just want everybody out there to enjoy the afternoon, whatever it is you're doing today. You know, enthusiasm is contagious. Yeah. Pass it along. Smile. Make sure you tip the wait staff. All that good stuff. I have one thing to say. Kick it. You wake up late for school. Man, you don't want to go. You ask your mom, please, but she still says no. You miss two classes and no homework, but your teacher preaches class like you're some kind of jerk. Yes, you gotta fight, folks, for the right to party. Now, I'm not recommending anybody go out there and do anything illegal, but you could do things within the law in moderation. But your pop caught you smoking and he said no way. That hypocrite smokes two packs a day. Man, living at home is such a drag. Now your mom threw away your best porno mag.
You gotta fight for your right to party.
You gotta fight for the right to party. Take me back to the 1980s Beastie Boys. Man, for all of us out there who grew up in the 60s, 70s, and 80s, okay, there's some of you 90s out there, millennials, but man, the 80s were just kicking it. I got out of Berkeley High in 1983, actually went to community college for a while, Oakland Community College and Royal Oak and Farmington Hills, then transferred to Central Michigan University in 1984, fire up chips. I was here when Dan Marley was at CMU. I got here when he was a freshman, and we were here the entire 4 years together. I used to serve him subs at H&R Pizza, these huge cheesesteak subs. H would always look at me and say, nah, don't give him too much cheese. But H&R, I love you guys. They were great. Russ and H, they were great to work for. But Dan Marley, he ended up playing for the Phoenix Suns, was on the Dream Team in the Olympics. He's an entrepreneur out in Arizona. And I believe he also does some broadcasting for the NBA. I could be wrong, but I think he does. But Dan Marley was he was from Traverse City, and his brother Jeff also came to play for Central afterwards. When Dan would make a basket, we would all throw toilet paper on the basketball court and over at McGurk Arena, There's a huge mural of all this toilet paper being thrown on a basketball court. Can you imagine coming from where I grew up, downstate, freshman, living in the dorms, going to a basketball game, and all of a sudden 30,000 roll of toilet paper goes flying in the air? If I knew how valuable toilet paper was to a college kid, I would have been on my hands and knees with garbage bags picking up that toilet paper. As the years went on and I moved out of the dorms into the Sig Ebb house, let me tell you something. Forget the beer. Toilet paper was the commodity. Mom, don't send money. Send soft, soft toilet paper. Have you ever seen a fraternity shower, by the way? I'm going to tell you, I don't know how I lasted taking a shower in that fraternity house, but I would have been better off going to a car wash and having someone put a couple quarters in and spraying me down than showering in that fraternity house. But back in the day, Dan Marley was great. But the 80s rocked. Guns N' Roses, all the hair bands, Metallica, you know, all the metal started coming, you know, Megadeth. I just miss those days. But, you know, you have to look forward. You can't look back, but it's okay to reminisce. And by the way, there's a lot of sick people out there. And I would like to dedicate this show to one of my fraternity brothers, Matt McDonald. We call him Scratty, Scratty Strong. Scratty is a father. He's a husband. He's a brother to Jason. He's somebody's son. He's one of our fraternity brothers. He came in a year after I joined the Sig Eps here at Central, and Scratty has been fighting an illness like so many of your loved ones and friends and family. And I just want to tell Scratty, if you listen to the show, that we love you. You're an inspiration, and you've always been a true friend and a true brother. So this show goes out to Scratty. You're the man, Scratty Strong. Okay, let's move on to some other legal issues. People always ask me, Todd, what kind of law do you practice? And I don't want to sit here and solicit, so this is not necessarily a solicitation, but for those that have just tuned in, I talk about cannabis quite a bit. I've practiced criminal law for 23-plus years, the first 12 in Metro Detroit. I handle possession cases. I've defended the Medical Marijuana Act, you know, for years since it came out in 2008. Retail fraud, probation violations, any type of drinking and driving offense, minor possessions. I don't do civil infractions. When I worked in Metro Detroit, if somebody got a 5 or 10 over, it wasn't difficult to go meet with a city attorney or prosecutor and get that down to an impeding traffic. That would not be abstracted. It would not go on your driving history. When I moved to Mid-Michigan, I found it was more difficult, at least in central Michigan, to negotiate a deal with civil infractions because most of the time, the officer is giving you a break on the roadway. And truthfully, they are. So if you're going 20 over and an officer writes you for 5 over, you should thank the officer because they gave you a break. I hear what you're saying. Why should I thank the officer when they pulled me over and my insurance is going up? Well, she could have wrote you for 20 over. And by the way, there's way too many people out there texting. I cannot tell you how often. I mean, think about this. Do you agree with me on this? How often are you driving down the road and you see somebody in the car coming towards you in the other lane, oncoming lane, and they're looking down and the car is swerving? This is something you have to be aware of. I'm concerned about this. I'm always on alert to get ready to have an out. I'm always ready in my truck to drive to the side to get out of the way. You have to be aware of these things. So stop texting and driving. And it's only getting worse. More and more young people and people are dying because of texting and driving than anyone else. Also, if you're having breakfast right now with your family or lunch or dinner, or you're out camping or doing something, can you just get off the phone, get off of Facebook, get off of, you know, Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, have a conversation with your family. Whenever I go to the restaurant now, I have a policy. I leave my phone in my truck. I will not bring it in. And for those on Facebook, I have my fraternity brothers are on Facebook all day long. I wonder, I mean, do these guys work? How do you have time to do all these posts, to respond to everybody else's post, to like things, and then reply and like and reply and like? I mean, come on. Get your head out of the device. What happened to the day when families would sit around the table, and those of us who are young enough to remember this said, hey, mom, dad, can I excuse myself? I need to go call the party line. Remember the party line? You know, you would dial up your dial phone because back then we didn't have push buttons yet. We just had to dial the phone. Remember the party line? You'd always wait for somebody else to appear on the other line. That was so exciting. The party line. Can you imagine taking today's youth off the Snapchat, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and putting them on a party line where only one other person will appear? That would crack me up. Here's another thing. How about when you were growing up, and I grew up in Metro Detroit listening to Riff, Arthur P. and Mike Staff, and all those, you know, great jocks. And whenever they would have a contest and they would take like the ninth caller or you had to listen for a song, how many of you like me would go to the phone and you're trying to dial so fast? So let's say you got, you know, two. You're dialing the two and you're pushing your finger to the right and you're pushing it back to the left and you're trying to dial the other number. And then you're dialing again as fast as you could. You could only dial those phones so fast. I remember those days. So we had the party lines. We always tried to be the ninth caller. I always wondered, though, how do they determine who's the ninth caller? Were they just, you know, I got to talk to Craig Russell, maybe Tammy about this, or Smitty. You know, what do they do? Do they just look at the phone and decide, okay, I think we've had enough callers. I'm just going to press number two and say, hey, congratulations, you're the ninth caller. I always wondered about that. I don't know. I could be wrong. But, you know, coming up in the show, my good buddy Dave Warner, we're going to have him on the show. I told Dave he could come on, him and his lovely wife, and because of my time constraints, we couldn't do it this week, but he'll be on the show soon. Dr. Bob's coming back on the show. My good buddy Trey Ayers is coming on with Aaron Coltrane out of Roscommon. I'm hoping to get Marie Winters on the show, John Marco, Steve Lato, Gazi. We're going to be also calling attorneys around the country. I'm going to have some equipment here shortly that's going to enable me, which we already have actually, to call people around the country. I'm setting that up also. And I have a good friend coming on, Jim Chase. I was on his radio show, Cut to the Chase. He's going to be coming on the show here in the next couple weeks. He's a union guy. He used to oversee the unions. He's a great man. He's going to be talking about drug testing and how the union can or cannot protect you. We got a lot of guests coming up on the show. I'm going to a seminar tomorrow in Lansing. I'll be discussing that in the next couple weeks. So stay tuned right here to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show. If you missed any portion of the show, I always say it, you can subscribe. It's free on podcasts, iTunes, SoundCloud, or Podbean. Until next week, maybe the Beastie Boys will take us out. I don't know what Craig has in store for you. Have a great afternoon. Be enthusiastic. Enthusiasm is contagious. I'm not just a litigator. I'm an advocator. Take us out.
The Todd L. Levitt Law Show, brought to you by Chad Malley Well Drilling of Rosebush, Clark Modular Homes, your most experienced and trusted builder of Mount Pleasant, Harrison Power Sports, Central Michigan's newest full-line Arctic Cat dealer, Dr. Robert Townsend and Denali Healthcare for your alternative healthcare needs, and Clear Vision Windows, Siding, Roofing, and Attic Insulation of Midland, offering free estimates and easy financing.
Opinions expressed on this radio program do not necessarily reflect the views of this radio station.